You remember we started thinking on Sunday morning about this question of vitamins. We thought about the food that we eat, plenty of it, but in many cases it isn't nourishing. And so our biochemists have brought out these wonderful things we call vitamins. They're not very heavy, they aren't very large, they aren't bulky, and yet the correct dose of vitamin can do so much to transform a person's physical health. Their eyes can sparkle and they can feel so fit and the burdens can roll off physically. Wonderful things can happen. Now, we've been thinking in the same way that just as we need physical vitamins, we need spiritual vitamins. Because some people get large doses of preaching or large doses of doctrine which make them spiritually bilious, and there aren't any such things as spiritual Alka-Seltzers as yet. So we can't use those, so we have to use spiritual vitamins. And although we approach the thing in that light way, yet there's no doubt whatever, as I prayed about this and as we're moving into it now, God can do wonderful things in the lives of many people here as we move in night by night and take one letter of the word vitamin, see the word it represents, take the truth it stands for, and apply it to our hearts. We have the word vitamin, V-I-T-A-M-I-N, vitamin. We began on Sunday morning with the letter V, and we thought about the word victory. And we realize how few Christians in the world have victory in their living. They have snatches of spiritual truce, or times when the firing ceases like it does in Vietnam. But those truces are soon forgotten and the battle of warfare moves in again. And there'll be many Christians in this church as we come on night by night who are born again, their sins are forgiven, they're going to heaven when they die, but we realize they have no peace in their lives. Now you may be one of those people here tonight, you have no peace. Now, you see, you can't have any peace until you have the victory. That's as simple as can be. There'll be no peace in Vietnam till there's victory. You can have a truce and they can stop firing, but that isn't peace. Firing just starts again. And so we thought about this wonderful vitamin of victory. And we saw that the whole of the Word of God teaches victory for the believer. And we saw this glorious verse in 1 Corinthians 15:57, which says, "Thanks be to God which keeps on giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we realized that victory isn't something you win. Victory is something you receive. And there'll be people in church tonight, and you're struggling against sin, against fear, against loneliness, against temptation. You're doing every way you can to win the victory over this problem in your life. And the answer is, you never will. Because victory isn't something you win. Victory is something you receive. Thanks be to God which giveth us, keeps on giving us the victory. It's just like salvation and forgiveness of sins. You come and you receive it. Then, last evening, we took the second letter, I, and we saw this was the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we're going to find, as we go letter by letter through the week, that each succeeding letter hitches onto the one before and makes the thing a more composite and effective idea of truth in our heart. The victory that we have is through the indwelling Holy Spirit. It isn't by being clever or learning gimmicks or doing peculiar things. It's through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we saw last night that the indwelling Holy Spirit is the way the Lord Jesus Christ comes to dwell in your heart and mine. The Holy Spirit isn't a weird thing that makes people do strange things. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. We saw
In 2 Corinthians 13:5, we had to examine ourselves, prove ourselves, and see that the proof of our faith is that the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts. Now, he doesn't dwell in our heart physically. That would be impossible. He dwells in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been sometimes called Jesus Christ's other self. Jesus Christ's other self. The Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of glory. There is a man in the center of heaven tonight, the man Christ Jesus. But in like manner, just as he is there in his human wondrous body, the man Christ Jesus, he also dwells in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. This is great as the mystery of godliness, something you don't try to understand, something you just enjoy as God teaches. And we saw last night that this victory that we began with the letter V, this victory can only be ours through the indwelling Holy Spirit. We had a wonderful verse in Hebrews 3 which says, we are made partakers of Christ. That is, we draw on all that Jesus Christ can be to us. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold our confidence steadfast in him. In other words, we began at the cross by coming with empty hands and taking all that Jesus Christ could be to us. His death, his shed blood, as my brother was singing about, his precious shed blood. We took that with empty hands. We didn't understand it. We couldn't understand it. We had a need and we took what God gave. Now Hebrews 3 says, we'll continue to have all the blessings of Christ if we keep on taking them. The trouble is that so many of us come to the cross, receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then we set up in business on our own. And we try and run our own lives. Not necessarily wickedly. We try and live a good life, and we try to live for Jesus. Well, that isn't God's idea. God's idea is not that we should live for Jesus, but that Jesus should live for us. We saw Jesus for us on the cross, Jesus in us through his Holy Spirit. Now, moving on from the victory and the indwelling Holy Spirit, I want to come to this very simple and very logical next vitamin. It's T, and the word is thankfulness. Thankfulness, the vitamin of thankfulness, the vitamin of a thankful heart. Now again, let me say this. There is somebody in church tonight. I don't know you. But if you listen hard, and I'll teach as simply as I can so that the boys and girls can understand, if you'll follow with me and listen, God could bring to you a tremendous blessing. It'll be truth, all right, the truth of the Word of God, but it'll be truth in action. The thing I like to share with people isn't truth that gets stuck here, but truth that comes here, then gets into my heart, and then, like the vitamins, moves into my spiritual bloodstream. That's what vitamins do. They, physical vitamins, go into your bloodstream and bring the blessing to your physical body. Spiritual vitamins will move into your spiritual bloodstream and give that zip and that joy and this sense of lifting from burdens. So then we're thinking about this simple word and this tremendous word of thankfulness. Now we're going to turn first of all to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. Can I say this regarding my manner of teaching? I was a teacher for many years. I was a principal of a school in England, a state school, for 15 years. The secret of successful teaching is good revision. And you'll find that night by night, I'll spend a few minutes just adding these things one onto the other. Just doing a very brief recap of what has gone before. Very brief. But so that you see how logical the thing is. To me, the Christian faith is utterly logical. That's what makes it so perfect. So we're moving on now to this great word, the T, thankfulness. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, there's much more we could read, but we have a fair amount to cover tonight, so we'll take those three verses there. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I am often asked by high school and college men this burning question about, I wish I knew God's will for my life. There may be somebody in church tonight, and that is what you're thinking about even now, God's will for your life. There's two ways of looking at God's will. There's God's will in general, and there's God's will specific. There's the specific will of God, which is just for you only in your particular circumstances. And there's the general will of God, which applies to all believers. Now, this is part of the general will of God. This is God's will for you. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for you. Notice it links up thankfulness. Now, I've heard people using this verse to comfort Christians who are in trouble by saying to them, now, you know what the Word of God says, you've got to give thanks for this. Thank God for the trouble you're in. Thank God for your heartache. Thank God for your tragedy. Thank God for all the things that are going wrong, because as you thank God for all these things, then it'll do you good. Now, would you notice it does not say that? And this is where you can get a blessing tonight. It's only a matter of one word. It's the preposition. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks, which is an entirely different thing. I am not instructed to give thanks because I've been involved in a tragedy. I haven't to look happy and say, Heavenly Father, I'm thank you that the tragedy's come and all these things have gone wrong. That would be stupid. It would be utterly stupid because it wouldn't be sincere. God never asks us to come and be insincere. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything give thanks, which is an entirely different thing. Let's move into this step by step and see the wonderful blessing. It says in everything. In other words, in whatever situation I find myself, in the situation, I give thanks. I'm not giving thanks for the situation. I'm not giving thanks for the tragedy, for the sorrow, for the failure. I am in the midst of the crisis and the tragedy, and in that position, I look up to God, and in that place, I give thanks to God. I'm not thanking God for the tragedy and the failure. Well then, for what am I thanking God? This is where the pattern of teaching so far clicks in. We began by talking about victory. It's possible to know victory. We've said this in failure, in sorrow and tragedy. There is such a thing as moving into a situation and having a victory in that place. We've seen that. That was the V. Now, the I was through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Victory isn't something I win. Victory is something I receive. We've seen that. And we receive it from and through the indwelling Holy Spirit of Christ. We are made partakers of Christ if we continue. If I keep on coming to Jesus and taking from the Lord Jesus all that he can give me, then I maintain
this wonderful state of victory. And remember, victory is simply peace in operation. Victory is peace in operation. Now you see how this verse we have here fits in so perfectly. In the middle of my sorrow, I come and I stand in my sorrow. And then in that place, I look up and I thank God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What do I thank God for? Can you see? It isn't for the problem. It's for the person. I thank God for the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the problem, I give thanks. In the situation, in everything, not for everything, in everything, give thanks. This is God's will. This is God's plan for handling failure and tragedy and sorrow. See, you may be the person. You may be young, or you may be older, or you may be old. And this may be your situation now. These things are crowding in, and you're frightened, and you're scared, and you don't know which way to turn. God has a plan for you. This is the will of God concerning you. If your name's Jim, this is the plan of God for you. Jim, or Mary, or Ken, or whoever your name may be, this is God's will for you. Here you are in the gathering storm, and you stand there, and you look up, and you say, Lord Jesus, oh, how I thank you, dear Lord. How I thank you, dear Lord, that you're my Savior. I thank you, you died for me on the cross to save me from my sin. I thank you, dear Lord, you live in my heart to give me victory, to give me victory. I thank you, Lord Jesus, even in the midst of this situation, Lord, I can do absolutely nothing. All I could do is worry and be fearful and run away and hide. Lord, I can do nothing. I can't handle this situation. You see, be absolutely honest, I can't. But Lord Jesus, you can. You can. You dwell in my heart. You're the indwelling Holy Spirit. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You promised to be my strength and my power and my joy. You have promised to give me victory wherever I am. So, dear Lord, in this situation, I thank you that you are my victory and my joy and my peace. I don't know how you're going to do it. But, dear Lord, I don't need to know how. I just need to know that you are. I don't understand how your shed blood could cleanse me from my sin. I know it did. I don't need to know how you're going to give me peace. I know you can. I know you will. And so, blessed Lord, in childlike faith, I take and I thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, that's what that means. In everything, not for everything. Reorient your whole thinking. In everything, give thanks. You give thanks for what God has done for you, what he's going to do for you. And remember, too, it's almost a logical, childlike thought, but if somebody is giving you a gift, when do you say thank you? Before you get it? No. When somebody gave me a gift and they hand it to me, I reach out empty hands. I take it. And then because I was well brought up like you, my mother taught me to do it, I say thank you. You do. When do you say thank you? You say thank you when you've got it. If you haven't got it, you don't say thank you. If you aren't sure you've got it, you don't say thank you. You only say thank you when you've got it in your hands. That's true, isn't it?
It's a very simple thought, but it's very true. You say thank you when you know you've got it. Do you know you've got the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart? You know, maybe you've never thanked God in the midst of problems and fears and anxieties. Maybe you've never thanked God because you never realized that the Lord Jesus was there. Maybe you had a hazy idea that something about a truth about he wouldn't leave you or forsake you, and that was a hazy idea. But you don't give thanks for hazy ideas. You just give thanks for solid realities.
And if you and I could bank our eternal salvation not only on the death of Christ, but the risen life of Christ indwelling us, and thank God, this is God's answer. This is God's answer for you. Could you think of any situation that the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't handle? Any fear that he couldn't dispose of? Any problem? You see, don't see the problem in relation to your own little self. See your problem in relation to your great and wonderful Almighty Savior, who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, this is truth. This is honest to goodness, honest truth. But it's truth that when it gets into your bloodstream, it does things for you. You don't cringe through life. You hold your head high. And you enjoy the teaching of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a verse I live by. That's the verse I could die by. Greater is he, not it, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the point is this, you keep on thanking God. Keep on thanking God for this. Does that make sense to you? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not for everything. It was such a relief to me when I found I hadn't got to thank God for all the mess and the problems I had. It didn't seem logical. It was such a blessed relief to know that I could thank God not for the mess, but I could thank God for the mercy. I didn't have to thank God for the problem. I thanked him for the person who loved me and cared for me. It's so logical. That's the way God works. And you know, it's absolutely true. Now, we're still talking about this wonderful vitamin. And I'm going to turn to another scripture. But before I do so, I want to give you a test. You see, I was a principal of a school. So I'm going to give you a test now. You listen. Don't turn to it. I'm going to read some verses out of the Bible. And I'm deliberately going to make a mistake. Now, there's no green stamps for the one who gets it right. But listen and see if you can spot what goes wrong here. I'm reading. Ready? Rejoice. Notice it began the same as the other one. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't hear it, again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now there are many of the Lord's people, and there are quite a number of you here in church tonight, who would say, well, what's wrong with that? Okay, nothing wrong there. But there was. I'll read it again.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, if you look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, that's where I started reading. Philippians 4 and verse 4. And I'm sure there were some of you who knew where I went wrong deliberately. I left something out. What did I leave out? With thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I left out with thanksgiving. Look at that verse. It's Philippians 4, 6. Be careful, or be worried, for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the reason why I left out the words with thanksgiving is that that's what most of us do when we do pray. We just leave out with thanksgiving. We come and we, in everything, we bring our prayers and our supplications to God. And then we're a bit worried because verse 7 doesn't come through. Verse 7 doesn't come true. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now there'll be some of you here, and you'll have been praying. I wouldn't know what you've been praying for, but I'm confident of this, otherwise the Lord wouldn't give me the message. I believe God is logical and sensible. I believe God gives me a message when there's people in the church who need that message. And I believe there are some of you here and you've been praying, agonizing in prayer, maybe praying for weeks and weeks and months, and you know, there's been no answer to your prayer. And the peace of God hasn't filled your heart and mind. It hasn't. And the reason why the peace of God hasn't filled your heart and mind is because you haven't prayed with thanksgiving. It teaches it here. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. You only get the peace when you pray with thanksgiving. You know, there are many of us who spend our spiritual life hammering on the back door of heaven, trying to get something out of God. Now, I know the Bible says that ask and ye shall receive, and we thank God for that. But the Bible teaches that I would say 75% of all our prayers should be thank you prayers, thanking God, not asking God. There are two kinds of prayers. There's the prayer that comes asking, and there's the prayer that comes thank you. One's a negative prayer, one's a positive prayer. Just consider with me. If I spend my prayer life always asking God to give me strength, asking God to give me patience if you're a busy mother, asking God to give you guidance, asking God to give you victory over sin, asking, it proves two things. It proves, one, you haven't got it. Otherwise, you wouldn't ask for it. And secondly, you mightn't get it. You see, it's a totally negative approach. You haven't got it, and you mightn't get it. That's a negative approach. The Bible doesn't teach that type of prayer. The Bible teaches praying with thanksgiving. How do I pray with thanksgiving? Well, the best way to teach is to show you. For example, look at it this way. There are some of the prayers. You see, it's a totally negative approach. You haven't got it, and you mightn't get it. That's a negative approach. The Bible doesn't teach that type of prayer.
The Bible teaches praying with thanksgiving. How do I pray with thanksgiving? Well, the best way to teach is to show you. For example, look at it this way. There are some of the prayers that we pray that God doesn't answer because he has no need to answer them. God won't give you what you already have. God's no need to give you what you already have. There'll be people, I'm sure I was one of them, I used to pray to God, oh God, give me power to overcome this, Lord. Give me power to meet this situation. Oh God, give me power. That's one of the prayers that is just passed over. God has no need to answer that prayer. Because the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew's Gospel at the end, listen. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's true, isn't it? Jesus Christ has all the power. And then he goes on to say a couple of verses lower down, and lo, I am with you. You see, we're hitching on to the indwelling Holy Spirit that we had last night. He says, I am with you. He teaches categorically, all power is given unto me, and lo, I am with you. Now, can you stop and with a dazed mind realize this truth? That the Lord Jesus Christ indwells you by his Holy Spirit. He either does or he doesn't. Well, he does. The Word of God says so. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ who indwells you is the total Lord Jesus Christ. All that Jesus Christ is indwells you by his Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave half his things in heaven and just come down here with a few odd ends. All that Jesus Christ is indwells you by his Holy Spirit. So because all of Jesus is there, all his power is there. And listen, he is the God of all peace, so all his peace is there. And he's the God of all patience, so all his patience is there. Jesus Christ is present, dwelling in you as a partaker of the divine nature, and there's all the power, and there's all the peace, and there's all the joy, and there's all the blessing, and it's there, in the person of Christ. That's why, when I used to come and say, oh Heavenly Father, give me power, give me power, give me power, what a stupid thing it was to ask for. Me knocking on the back door of heaven trying to get 2 pence worth of power, and all the time I had the Lord Jesus indwelling me, and he had all the power. Now, this is where the vitamin of thankfulness comes in. That's what Paul is teaching. And remember, Paul's writing from prison. He's writing in prison. He says, when you pray, whatever you do, pray with thanksgiving. How do you pray with thanksgiving? So simple, so logical. You say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you mean to me. Thank you that you died on the cross to save me from my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you dwell in my heart by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Lord, because you are there. All your power is there. All your peace is there. All your joy is there. Thank you, dear Lord. I have all these things in you. I have them now. Thank you for them. This is the Bible saying you pray for what you pray thanking God for what you've got. Then you come by prayer and you say, Lord Jesus, thank you that your power indwelling me is the answer to this situation. And my prayer, dear Lord, is that your presence and your power will move into this situation and handle this situation for me. Or you may be a tired, worried mother who says, thank you, Lord Jesus. You're the God of all peace. And you said in John's Gospel, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And he gives you his peace because he's there. The peace of Christ is the presence of Christ. And he's there. And so the tired mother doesn't say, oh God, give me more peace. A tired mother says, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord, for this miracle. You live within my heart and my life. And dear Lord, because you're there, there's an enormous reserve of peace and patience and mercy and kindness and love. Lord Jesus, this is here because you are here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. Now, dear Lord, I pray that your peace indwelling me will move into this situation. Take care of this for me. This is the vitamin of thankfulness. You see, it isn't doctrine or truth that gets all tied up. It's just plain, honest reality. So simple. And yet the Word of God. I was in California some time ago, and a woman came to me the very first night. She asked to see me, and she was filled with distress and sorrow. And her problem was this. She said, I've been asking God for 2 years this week to give me peace. She said, I'm almost demented with the pressures and the problems around me. And she had a whole load of tragedy. I've been asking God for 2 years, she said, to give me peace. And so I took her into the pastor's vestry where it was quiet. And I shared with her a little of what I'm sharing with you. I said, listen, you've got the peace of God. Don't ask for it. I said, and after I'd explained one or two things to her, I said, now listen, you go home and don't ask God for anything else the whole of this week. Don't ask him for anything. You keep on having your prayer time regularly, but every time you pray, start and thank God for what you've got. Don't ask him for one thing. Thank him for all that you have in Christ Jesus. And at the end of the week, she came back with a radiant face, and she thanked me for the peace of God. And she said, to think that for 2 years, I've been asking God for peace in my heart. And all the time I had it in Christ Jesus. And the lovely thing was this, not only did she come and thank me, her husband came and thanked me. Now, I didn't intend that to raise a laugh, but it apparently had. Because this man came and he said, you know, what a difference it's made in our home. Amen. He said, the tensions are going. And she doesn't lose her temper. And she seems at peace in herself. And of course she was. Because she'd found the peace in herself. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. And the word keep means to garrison, to build a protecting wall around you. We have many old castles in England where they have a great wall around the castle, and there's a tower in the middle, and the tower's called the Keep, the same spelling, the Keep, where people went for refuge, and the troops were on the wall round about, and they protected the people. What thrills me here is the thing that keeps you in a crazy world is not the power of God. It's the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It's if God gives you a spiritual insulation against the world around you. It isn't that God makes a bigger noise in the world around you. That's how they would when they were fighting. God doesn't make a bigger noise. It's the peace of God that insulates. There's the peace of God between you and the world. The peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God. How is the peace of God there? Through your thankfulness. Now this is truth. But as I began, it's absolutely dynamic truth, and this is what you need. And as we finish, see the victory, the V, the victory, then the indwelling Holy Spirit, and then my thankfulness to God for the indwelling Spirit of Christ, who brings to me the victory. The things go step by step. Can I suggest something for you? I don't know whether you'd like to try it. Why don't you try for the next 2 weeks and don't ask God for anything? Don't ask him? You say, well, I'd starve. Things would go wrong. Well, no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. God will understand. Don't panic. Instead of asking God, start and thank God. Thank God. When you have your prayer times, thank you, Heavenly Father, for all you've given to me. We began singing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Now quit counting and start thanking. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all I've got. And thank him for the peace of Jesus Christ. Thank him for the assurance you've got here of a home in heaven. Thank you that you aren't fighting the battle alone. Thank you that Jesus Christ has got you and is there and is with you. And even if you're a big, strong, tough man, don't be too tough to thank God. Can you remember World War II when you were in a hot spot? And you cried to God. And God somehow blessed you. And you thanked him. You weren't too big to thank him then. You thank him now. The vitamin of thankfulness. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, how we thank thee for all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray now for those members of this congregation who here and now specifically need this message in their own heart and life. For those who have burdens and fears and loneliness and tragedy and failure. For those who are defeated by sin and those who are overwhelmed by guilt, Heavenly Father, to such as these, grant the blessing of the peace of God. May they come quietly and reverently and thank God for all that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to suggest at this moment, good friends, that we have a moment of absolute quietness in this church. And you start now thanking God in your heart for what you have in Christ Jesus. Not for what he did. Thank him for who he is in your heart and life. Start thanking him now. And see if God doesn't bring the prospect of blessing even to your heart now. So a pause while we thank God. Indeed, our Father, we worship thee. We praise thee, we adore thee. We can never measure the riches that are ours in the Lord Jesus. We pray that by that same Holy Spirit, thou wilt evermore teach us in all things to give thanks and to pray continually with thanksgiving. Help us to pray from the place of strength, rejoicing in all that he is. For all that we need. And now, God, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide with each one of us here and with all those whom we love, wherever they may be, this night and forevermore. Amen.